Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Beltway Blitz coming up on Grant and Danny. All our guests made possible on the Blitz via the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV.
Your pals are exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
David on Twitter says he wants a 30 for 30 on Darius's Madden League.
Could be too.
The next F1 drive to survive. The Madden League was very popular for a long time. It is now done. Couple people got kicked out along the way.
Source of so much joy turned to so much anger.
I literally just asked Darius, I said, have you heard the reports, though, that the new Madden apparently is getting rave reviews and people are really excited about it? He's like, it's very possible that it's going to be awesome and I'll buy it. And I was like, so we could play online. He says, I'll never play another person in Madden again. And then we asked him why, and he looked crestfallen and emotional, and he said, it's just over. It's over. So Madden's been ruined for him and for Toby, though, by the way. Two nice people by a villain, by a cheesy villain. It is time for the Beltway Blitz. Chris Miles, NBA TV, joins us now. Chris, I thought the Pacers were done a bunch of times over. How in the heck is this finals going to a game seven?
You know, that's a great question, because before the finals started, I was like, oh, this would be over in three games. Because the Pacers will give up halfway through the fourth game and the Thunder will sweep. But I got to give Indiana credit. Rick Carlisle has done an excellent job, and their bench is to be trusted. And they showed, against the, second youngest team to make it to the finals in NBA history in the Thunder. But they've kind of taken advantage and exploited some of that youth with their experience and their moxie and their championship caliber coach in Rick Carlisle and also Pascal Siakam, who also won a championship with the Toronto Raptors. I think you're seeing that experience come to play in some of these big games.
Yeah, Chris, you mentioned, and the Pacers deserve so much credit. So what I'm about to say sounds like I'm taking credit away from them. I don't mean to at all. But there have been a couple times where the Thunder just haven't looked ready to be champions yet. They're so good that they very well might win the whole damn thing and win it in seven games. They're so talented. When they're on, they're unbeatable. Just sort of look at what happened to the rest of the league. But there have been times it looks like they're just sort of playing with their food. Like, maybe it'll just happen for us. And they've been beaten when that's happened. Just kind of give me your reaction to that.
Yeah, you know what's really crazy? I mean, so after, I think it was game two, whatever it was, it was after game one, after the Thunder loss and the Pacers had that comeback. And, like, we're sitting there on the set and all the players are walking by on the court. And, like, Shaq looks at them and goes, like, I don't like how they're acting. They're acting like this is just another loss. This is the NBA Finals. You're supposed to be angry. Then he came on the show and kind of said the same thing. And, like, all of the former players were talking to each other, talking about that particular thing. And I truly believe that's the sole reason this is going seven games, is that the Thunder are like one of those young teams, like the old Thunder from, 2011 or 2012. That's like, oh, we'll be here every year. Oh, this is just another big game. But, like, if we lose, we'll come back next year. They have that vibe where the Pacers are like, T.J. McConnell's like, I'm in my 30s. I may never get this opportunity again. Pascal Siakam's like, it's been 6 years since I've been here. The Pacers have that do or die in them, where the Thunder kind of feel like they're just getting started with this group.
Chris Miles, NBA TV. So make the case both directions. We're talking in 4 days, and the Thunder got back right and won it all. And somehow, some way, despite never having been favored, and despite never really having been given a chance, the Pacers win this thing in seven in enemy territory.
Wow. I mean, that would be great. To me, there's like three things I look at. Points off turnovers, hitting those corner threes, and dealing with that crowd. I have to mention to you guys, being in, quote, Loud City, that's where they call it in Oklahoma City, that's the loudest crowd I've ever heard, like, in my life. I mean, I'm counting Super Bowls, World Series, everything. I'm like, man, I know they said it was loud in here, but there's something about that arena and the fans and how they're into it that it's going to take a lot for the Pacers to win that Game 7. I like Oklahoma City for that, but I think it would be historic if the Pacers are able to do it, yeah.
Give me a guy for each team outside of the headliners. We know who they are, in Shea, or maybe even, you know, Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren, et cetera, for Oklahoma City, Halliburton and company for Indiana. Give me an unsung guy for both teams that you think might step up and have a great game to help his team win.
Well, shoot, the guy I trust most for Indiana, even above Tyrese Halliburton with his calf injury, is TJ McConnell. I mean, we're joking about how this guy can win NBA Finals MVP if the Pacers do win. I mean, I think Siakam would win the award, but I think TJ McConnell is like the biggest X factor, period. For the Thunder, I got to go with the Terp, Aaron Wiggins. You know, one of the coolest moments, I have to say, as a fan of just sports in general, was sitting there after Wiggins had that big, I think it was game two maybe, we had 18 points and Scott Van Pelt was there. And I was like, your Terp looking good, right? And I think Aaron Wiggins is the unsung, like, big factor guy at 26 years old. He's actually one of the older guys on the team. Second round pick. I really like Aaron Wiggins for the Thunder, the former Terp, to kind of be the guy that we really have to pay attention to.
Chris, thank you, buddy. Good catching up.
All right, guys.
Enjoy game seven. Let's talk baseball. How on earth did you guys get Jags to do this when he's out in Los Angeles? Isn't there golfing out there, Jags?
That'd be San Diego and Anaheim. Not the first day in L.A. So gotcha. we'll get plenty in. Don't you worry.
My guess is the clubs made the trip.
The clubs did make the trip.
Yeah.
So did James Wood, who is awesome. Yesterday, one-man band. Two-run homer, 2-0 lead. Then it's evened up at 2-2, and it felt like he was going to have to do something. And in the 11th, he did. What an amazing performance, huh?
Well, if you want to use the golf analogy, the first home run was the 2-iron. That was the low screaming line drive. And then the second one had the height of a pitching wedge, but carries like a driver. I mean, he was it's really impressive what he can do. And, you know, for a team that just was mired in one of the worst stretches that we've seen. I mean, you know, the last team that had lost this many games in a row was 2008, and that was a bad team. That was a 100-loss team. This is a team that, you know, just before this streak had played over 500 baseball for a third of the season. If you take out the 1-6 start, they were playing over 500 for basically a one-third segment of the year. So to have it all kind of fall apart over a week and a half was really tough. But if there's a way to get out of that and turn it around, that's the guy you want to do it. And you hope it just jump starts, a nice rebound back in the other direction.
What's the way or the kind of the path here, Jags, that they could sort of climb back? Because they've done a couple times. This is their third tough streak of the season. It was the longest and most substantial because there weren't any wins mixed in there. But there was an 8-9 streak, a 6-7 streak, I think, in there. And each time they would climb within a game or two of 500, playing really good baseball after that. What's the key to having this be the launching point for a good little stretch?
Well, I mean, the tough part is the schedule. But if you play the schedule game, I mean, look what we just did, right? I mean, you're saying, well, they're in a tough stretch. Well, they'll beat up on the Marlins and the Rockies. Well, the whole time as the losses piled up, what was looming was what is going to start tonight with the Dodgers and the Padres. But we've been around this sport long enough to know that you can't play the schedule game. And, oh, by the way, while you guys were sleeping last night, the Dodgers and Padres were duking it out. Managers were shoving each other. There might be suspensions today. I've always found that, you know, when I worked in Boston earlier in my career and the Red Sox and Yankees had that bloodbath, whenever they finished those three-game series, those battle royales, there was always a letdown if they play Toronto or Tampa Bay in the next series. So you got to hope maybe the Dodgers are a little spent after what happened over those four emotional games and basically two series over the last week. And, you know, maybe they're not at the top of their game. But, I mean, that's on them. As far as the Nationals are concerned, you know, you've got to have a little more consistent offense. I mean, James Wood can't be the only guy to do it. And if he's not having a good game, it seems like this team doesn't find a way to win. So top to bottom of the lineup, you need more. You've got Gore on the mound tonight against Clayton Kershaw. This, to me, is an old-school, great pitching matchup that you want to watch unfold. You know, if he can go out and win game one, let's see if he can win a series out here.
Yeah, Jag, speaking of Mackenzie Gore, he has pitched like an ace starting pitcher. I mean, his numbers are Scherzer-like, essentially. When you look at an ERA under 3, he's leading the major leagues with over a dozen strikeouts per 9, had the highest strikeout total going into this trip through the rotation for the top starters in the game, ERA barely over 1. He should be in Atlanta. Looks like an all-star. A, what do you think's gone differently for him to kind of finish the development for now this season? And then B, how good has he been?
Well, number one, it's the maturity, because we saw him the first 2 years he was in this rotation that he would flash the ace stuff, but in the games where things didn't go well, it would unravel and he'd give up a touchdown or he'd give up, you know, 5 or 6 and be out in the fourth inning. He's finally developed, and we saw it took Strasburg a few years to develop that. You've got to be able to get past the pitch that just happened and focus on the next one. I mean, just point to that start he had against Baltimore, where he had all those strikeouts but gave up 10 hits. Basically, every ball he put in play was a hit, and he only gave up 2 runs. I mean, right now, when it's kind of like B minus Gore, it's 6 innings, 2 runs. So that's a huge, huge difference. And that's how good he's been, that he set the bar so high that his last start out, 6 innings, 2 runs, feels like that's not a great outing for him when most guys would sign up for it. So all that is good, and I really am curious to see what he does on this trip, because he starts it out tonight against the Dodgers. He pitched a great game against L.A. to beat them earlier this year, and Ohtani was the only guy who hit him. Ohtani, I think, hit 3 balls over 100, including a homer. So how does he adjust to him? And then he's going to pitch the last game in San Diego, so you know he's going to be ramped up to pitch a great game there. So you're hoping that he can give you 2 Ws in those 2 starts.
Jags, thank you as always. Have a great call tonight.
All right, thanks, guys.
We'll see you, buddy. Hit that local 53 sounder, Darris. By God, that's Denton Day's music, BetMGM Network, to talk about the local 53. Denton, we're all assuming this Terry McLaurin thing gets itself worked out, et cetera, et cetera. Who's the best receiver opposite him, assuming Debo Samuel's more of a weapon? Who's the guy that gets maybe the second most targets opposite Terry McLaurin in that receiver role?
I would assume, guys, and appreciate you guys having me on here, I would assume it would be Noah Brown. If he is healthy, you know, we haven't heard anything, at least a whole lot about that injury, assuming that he's going to be good to go week one. My guess would be him. If not him, maybe Chris Moore. Anybody interested in Chris Moore? He actually had a pretty decent mini camp. I don't know what that's going to turn into in terms of once week one rolls around, but at least he has some veteran experience. But I would think Noah Brown. If Debo's the weapon, I would think Noah Brown would be the wide receiver opposite of Terry.
Chris Moore had like a 2-month stretch in the league at one point, where he was a football player. I think he was even on my fantasy team going back like 3 years ago. So he has caught passes. I mean, they've got a few guys like that. KJ Osborne had
Gallup
a run
too,
in Minnesota. Gallup. But the back end depth is just not very good. I wonder if they go out and add someone if Noah Brown's pretty seriously hurt.
Yeah, I think if Noah Brown is hurt, they might look to maybe someone gets cut that shouldn't get cut, kind of how we saw them add Noah Brown last year. Maybe they think that the addition of a guy like Wes Welker will help the maturity of a guy, or the maturation process, I should say, of the guy like Luke McCaffrey. We talked about, at least in the beginning of the season last year, wow, Luke McCaffrey is open a ton. And then it felt like once we realized how open he was, they stopped playing him as much. So maybe Luke is the guy, but I will believe it when I see it. I bet him to score a touchdown every single year last year, or every single week last year, fellas, and I came up with $0 on those bets. So I would like to see that change.
Denton, off the beaten path, but while we have you on the Beltway Blitz, I'm curious. So Texas turns things over to Arch Manning. I know you're a college football mark, right? Quinn Ewers got drafted in the late rounds by the Dolphins. Is Texas the number one team going into the year, or is it still like Ohio State, Oregon? What's that look like?
So right now it is Texas and Ohio State kind of battling and jockeying for the 2 positions because they're uberly talented on every aspect of the ball, despite the fact that they both come in with new quarterbacks. I mean, the expectation is that Arch is going to be really, really good. I think it's fair to expect him to be good. I don't know that it's fair to expect him to be a Heisman candidate the way that he is. But those two right now are the top two teams. I will tell you this, fellas, and I want to be the first one to say it on your show, watch out for Clemson. They built this thing through the defensive line. It's a nasty defensive line, similar to what they've had in years past when they were championship good. It's been a few years where they haven't been, but Clemson might be the team that takes it all this year.
Everyone's been making fun of Dabo for like 3 years. That would be a nice little last laugh for Dabo if he bounces back.
Unless they go to the old school thing where they Clemson it and they lose to an inexcusable team.
Which that all of those could happen. Like, that's kind of the thrill of Clemson. They could win and we could stop making fun of Dabo, or they could lose to like Wake Forest in the season.
Like the Citadel gets them.
College football playoff.
Denton, always good to have you, buddy. Talk soon.
All right, fellas, appreciate it.
Be good, brother. There's Denton Day, Bet MGM Network, and one of our pals here in the Odyssey family. Next, a D.C. City Council member, Zachary Parker, stops by. We want an update. What's going on with the stadium?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Welcome back. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. We have spent many of the last several weeks, off and on, discussing the possibility of an NFL stadium in the nation's capital. And the Commanders coming back home to D.C. to have a beautiful state-of-the-art stadium over at the old RFK site. No real progress seems to be made at this point. It seems like the team and the mayor at the big press conference with, among others, the President of the United States, the Commissioner of the NFL, looked like maybe this was happening. It's up to the D.C. City Council now to vote and push it through, and that's kind of where we are as we close in on a mid-July deadline, which is why we want more insight. So we're going to go right now to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We're going to talk to the council member for Ward 5 in D.C., Mr. Zachary Parker, who joins us on Grant and Danny. Thank you so much for the time. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Our pleasure. So give us kind of, I guess, to start your take on the deal as it's currently constructed. And I guess first, point blank, would you be a yes right now on this deal to build a stadium at RFK?
Yeah, I would first say there has been a lot of progress on this deal. There's a lot of excitement across the district, both for the district having the rights to develop the land at RFK, but also to potentially bring the Commanders home. As for the deal itself, there is a need for the council to do our due diligence. And by that meaning, vetting the numbers, looking at the proposal, adding measures to the deal. There's a question around this July 15th deadline that has been provided. That doesn't mean that the deal can't go forward if that deadline is not met. But the council received this proposal and project literally 3 weeks ago. And the position, myself and several of my colleagues, is we need a little bit more time and are pushing for a definite vote this fall. I am optimistic and confident the vote will happen. I am confident that the council will vote affirmatively for a deal to bring the Commanders home. But right now it's a matter of how do we vet the project, have a little bit more time so that we can strike the best deal for Washingtonians.
Which is great insight, and we appreciate you coming on the show to give it to us. But there's two very different things between you're confident that you guys are going to vote yes on this deal and that you'll vote yes on a deal, meaning that you guys might say yes to something that looks very different. But as of right now, the mayor and the team are saying this isn't the start of the negotiation. This is the deal. So when you say you're confident that this is going to be a yes, are you saying to having a stadium or to this deal itself, it's just going to take until the fall for you to say yes to this deal?
I would say I'm optimistic there will be a vote on a deal. I believe what we have before us is an outline of a proposal. Only the Council of the District of Columbia can affirmatively approve this type of deal. And it's important to note that while the mayor and the Commanders were negotiating, the council was not consulted. There are some parameters around the deal that members of the council have raised questions about, including the parking, both in whether or not it's the right amount of parking, but also where does revenue in future years go, who has rights to the land parcels, and how much, if any, rent or benefit and revenue should the Commanders deliver to the district. These are details in the proposal that I think it's fair for the council to wrestle with the Commanders on in order to ensure that we strike the right balance. I will say personally, I don't know if the deal before us strikes the best balance, and it's something that we're looking to dig into over the next few weeks.
Councilmember Zachary Parker with us here on Grant and Danny. Councilmember, to that end, forgive us. We're sports people. We like linebackers and touchdowns. How much of this is a line item in a budget and therefore not amendable, if that's even the right use of a word? In other words, how much is it, hey, this is what you guys can vote on, yay or nay, and if you send something back that's different, does that restart the process? Like, help us understand this kind of element of it, because I think, not to put words in Grant's mouth, what it sounded like to us was, this is the proposal. You can debate whatever the heck you want, but this is the proposal, right? So how much is amendable here that you could send back to somebody else?
Great question. Fortunately, given the district's government structure, there isn't a matter of sending anything back. What I will say is the mayor did include this proposal, and it's important to stress that it is a proposal, in her budget. What several members have said, and I agree with, is that we ought to keep the money for the deal that has already been allotted in the budget that we will vote on by the end of July. So by the end of July, we would vote affirmatively to approve funding for the deal while we still take a few additional weeks to negotiate specifics around who gets future revenues, who has rights to what parts of the land, et cetera. And then after negotiating the policy language, voting on that, if that makes sense. So we would approve the money in July, and we would strike the language or come up with the language a few weeks later, sometime this fall, perhaps in September, no later than likely October, in order for us to have the right amount of time to both vet the deal, but also to address some of the issues that members of the council have with the current proposal.
So what is the deadline about, really? Was that the team or the mayor or both? And then also, the mayor has said publicly that if this doesn't happen before the deadline, which is less than a month away, that Maryland's back on the table. Is that something you're willing to risk if Maryland and the team start talking again?
The July 15th deadline, I don't want to say it's arbitrary, but it is a date that was decided upon between the mayor and the commanders. We do not know when that date was decided upon. I am confident that the commanders and the mayor have had many, many months of negotiations. You may or may not know, but the budget process in the district has been delayed in part because of congressional interference. And that is in part why there has been such a delay, and in part why we only received budget materials 3 weeks ago. And so to ask the council to merely rubber stamp a deal, a multi-billion dollar deal, without properly vetting it, without pushing for assurances on other aspects of the deal that we feel are important, I think would be inappropriate. In terms of getting the deal done, I will go back to what I said at the top of this. I can only speak for myself, but my sense of where my colleagues are is that members understand how important this is for the district. Members themselves are excited, but members also want to strike the right deal. I am confident that something will get passed. I am confident it will look a lot of like what the current proposal is with some notable changes, but it likely will not happen by July 15th. And I would just say one more thing here. Our vote on our budget will not be concluded by July 15th. So to ask us to vote by July 15th on this deal when that doesn't even align with the council's now updated budget vote, which is, again, the end of July, just doesn't strike with reality.
So that makes a lot of sense to me, honestly. I mean, I think that's a reasonable stance. I guess my question, I'm honestly asking this, I'm not being a jerk. You mentioned that you guys need more time, right? You suggested the fall. I think you said 3 weeks ago is when you got the details you needed to even start thinking about it. Like, nothing in politics happens quickly. We've learned that covering this team and this stadium, and I don't even mean on a D.C. perspective, just getting the land and everything else over the last several years as a show. But how long will it take? I mean, this is not something that can just go on in perpetuity. Like, there's a little bit of a get stuff done thing here where there's other municipalities involved. They've got to break ground. They're trying to have a stadium in the ground, you know, ready to go in 2030. So what is a realistic expectation for you guys to move as quick as possible? And why the fall? How do you come up with that timeline?
Great question. I'll answer that in a few ways. I would say one of the benefits of the district not being a state and having a relatively small legislature, that's a 13-member council, is that we can be pretty nimble in these types of instances. So there aren't chambers that we have to go back and forth between. And so I feel confident that we can vote. As I mentioned, we will already have voted on the funding for the deal in the budget, which will be by the end of July. We would be following up with policy language thereafter. Second thing I would say, we've already allotted funding and given authority to Events DC to move forward with the demolition of the current stadium at RFK to begin groundwork and to begin the work of demolishing the site. I anticipate that's going to be a many-month process. And so while I know everybody is anticipating this deal, there is a world where we can still move forward with the demolition of the parcel at the site while the council takes a few extra weeks in order to strike the right deal. Last thing I would say is, again, I know how important this deal is for the district and Washingtonians and the surrounding jurisdiction, and my colleagues do as well. And so I don't sense and I don't believe that anyone would benefit from us not taking this up with a matter of urgency.
Councilmember Zachary Parker, kind enough to join us for a few minutes here on Grant and Danny. And Councilmember, curious, how much have the opinions and folks, and I know this project wouldn't be directly in your ward, but it's right next door. How much have you spoken to your residents and how much polling have you looked at in terms of how, you know, residents may be in favor or opposed, et cetera? And how has that kind of informed your stance, then maybe the stances of the council?
Yeah, I have engaged neighbors. I continue to engage neighbors on the deal. I will say the commanders have been great partners thus far. They've been very receptive They have been forthcoming. And so this is in no way a slight to commanders who have been great partners. And I'm confident we're going to come up with a great deal. As you mentioned, Ward 5 is adjacent to Ward 7 near this RFK site. Our Carver Langston communities are abutting this development. And there are certain aspects that we want to ensure are included in the deal, which is, again, why we need a little bit more time to ensure there is a level of thought and care and attention paid towards this deal to ensure it benefits all Washingtonians. The headline, though, I just want to leave people with this, is that even if the council were to take a few extra weeks, and even if the vote on the policy language for the deal doesn't happen by July 15th, I am confident that we can still make this deal happen, and we will make this deal happen, and we can deliver this project by the 2030 deadline that the commanders have given. Events DC has already received the approvals that they need. We can begin breaking ground at RFK tomorrow if we wanted to. And I look forward to further engaging with the commanders. I know they've been working directly with the chairman of the council, as well as meeting with different council members. And I'm confident we will strike the right balance.
It seems to me like, because we've had so many different council members on, and they're yes, they're no. It sounds like you're way more, as far as the folks that aren't willing to say yes yet, you're way more open and excited about the possibility long term. Correct me if I'm wrong. There are people on the council who are just a no, no matter what. Like the Brianna Nadeau, I think, is like not 1 cent for the team, essentially. I'm putting this in, I'm paraphrasing, but she hasn't come on the show. So that's the best I can figure from her
statement. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for other members, but I believe there have been two members that have come out to say they did not plan to vote for the deal. There were four members that came out with the original proposal
yeses.
That said they would support the deal. I think the rest of the members would fall in the camp where I am, where we are likely voters for the deal, contingent certain aspects are included. And so for me, that is ensuring that there are labor protections so that there are good union paying jobs as we're developing the deal, to ensure that there are educational benefits for young people surrounding RFK and Wards 5, 7, and 8, to ensure that we actually follow through on our commitment to Senator Mike Lee and other congressional leaders that we will invest back in a National Park Service land, and to ensure that we protect current revenue generating programming at RFK, like the very successful GLOW Festival. Those are not unreasonable demands. Should those things be met, I plan to vote for this deal. I've heard from the commanders that they plan to include all of those aspects. And so that's why sometimes it's hard to give a clear yes or no, because I think some members is yes, is contingent with certain things being included in the final deal.
Which makes sense. Those things that you just pointed out, very, very good to know. As far as the deal, you talked about parking, labor protection, some of those other things. That's all that's standing in the way then. I mean, to me, it seems
that's
like...
That's exactly right. That we are excited. We want the commanders back in the district. Yes, I will say there are those who question whether or not we should build a stadium at RFK, but my sense is the overwhelming majority of Washingtonians are excited about this opportunity. I would say the overwhelming majority of the council is excited about this opportunity. And my sense is we will get this done. I think there is a level of skepticism by some that a delay is merely a tactic to kill or divert this project. And that is not what is happening at all. We would be irresponsible to merely sign off on a deal if we didn't read all of the fine print and do our vetting. And all we're saying is, in good faith, let's keep talking with the commanders, working together. And strike the right deal. You had asked earlier about other jurisdictions, and I would just say we would ask the commanders to continue to work with us, ideally exclusively, but we do not believe that taking a few extra weeks will pose that significant of a risk that Virginia or Maryland would be able to swoop in to steal the commanders from the district, and we get a sense that they too want to come home. So. Let's make it happen.
Councilmember, my final one for you is you mentioned the word opportunity, and I've heard the mayor speak to that an awful lot, as well as some other advocates on the council. Is that how you view this? And I guess that's part one. And part two is for the opponents, which, you know, again, I understand someone might be opposed to nearly anything. the question that Grant and I would have for all of those folks who are opposed to this is, here's the opportunity to do something. What's your proposal? If not this, where is that? Why is that? How is that? I mean, to me, the opportunity, that I think that's such a powerful word when it comes to this. I'd love your thoughts.
It is a significant opportunity. I take to heart the concern that some neighbors raised that it would be great if we built more housing there, or we built more of a community there versus a stadium, and thinking of the needs and that we have here in the district. I'm also persuaded by what I've heard from the mayor and others that having an anchor like this stadium will drive development for housing and other things. And so, I do believe this is a significant opportunity. I think the investment that the Commanders are willing and wanting to make in the district is important and impressive. I think the deal, again, needs to be looked at and perhaps tweaked. But I think this is a win-win for the district. Some of the noise happening right now, I think, is just a matter of politics. But I would say for myself and my sense for my colleagues is that we are committed to getting this deal done. And I think by this fall, we will all be celebrating the Commanders coming to the district.
Zachary Parker, D.C. City Council member. The last one for you, we'll let you out on this. Just about every person that we've had on has pointed out that you guys were not really involved in the planning, the negotiating. This kind of got brought to you after the fact. I don't know anything about politics within the city, but I do think it'd be a lot harder to get a deal with 14 voices than one. I guess my question is, how abnormal is that? In other cities where they do these stadium deals, is the entire city council with the mayor negotiating with the team, or is this more normal that the mayor and the team have the plan and then bring it to you guys?
Yeah, I think this is more normal for our mayor. The mayor, it's her purview and the mayor's purview to generate these type of deals. What I will say is that knowing that the council is the only body that can approve this type of deal, the council is the only body that can pass our budget, it seems short-sighted not to include the council in negotiations and deliberations. I would take you back to when the council quickly moved to save Monumental Sports, when there is discussion about them potentially leaving the district. The council worked hand in hand with the executive, and we put forth a deal. Monumental Sports is still in the district. We are still working together. But again, I think part of the need for a little bit extra time is because the council was not consulted. And now that the paperwork has reached us, we have every right and need on behalf of Washingtonians to look at the deal and make sure it's the best one possible.
Yeah, you got to do your job now.
That's right. That's right.
Councilmember, very gracious with us. Really, sincerely appreciate the information and the insight, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Let's get a stadium deal. We'll high-five you in the parking lot before the first game.
Looking forward to it.
All right, there he is, the councilmember from D.C., Zachary Parker. Impressive guy. I like him. He had a great video he put out to level set with people on social media not long ago. I like him.
Again, what I like is clarity.
Yeah.
And the nature of politics is to cloud. You swat those aside. And here's where we are. It's probably going to be like this. I like those sensible sorts of things.
Let's get reactions next. 800-636-1067. What did that make you think about Stadium RFK 2.0?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thanks to D.C. Councilmember Ward 5, Zachary Parker, for joining us on Grant and Danny. In summation, he is not a yes on this current deal, but he hopes to be a yes on another deal in the fall. My only hesitation from getting excited, although as the interview went on and he kept reiterating over and over, I think we're going to get a deal. And I kind of came around to be okay with his thinking on this. What he's saying is we're the best place for the deal. The July 15th deadline doesn't matter that much. They're going to choose us, and in the fall, we're going to be ready to go. That's great. The most important part, though, is what deal are you going to say yes to? Now, he said, these are the only things I need. Well, those didn't seem that crazy to me.
No, they're not.
But those are the things he needs. There's five or six other council members that are all saying the same thing, and for another three, which is what you need to get to the number to say yes, they need another four or five things. And how many of those, when the Commander's ownership is already giving up, you know, a record amount in terms of the percentage of the pie here for a city and a team coming together to build a stadium, how many more times are they going to bend over to get it done? I think that is the question. You know, are they going to say, all right, Zach, here's your four things. And all right, you know, Council Member Danny, here's your three things. And all right, Council Member Grant, here's your four things. So that is my concern. The team is not suggesting that this was the start of a negotiation. They're saying, here's your deal. And for Parker and a lot of the people in the city council, they're going, nice first offer. Let's get to the next offer. That's my concern.
Yeah, from what he was saying, now again, this is just, these are his points. None of those were fundamental differences in the deal. I think that's a huge distinguishing point.
Yeah, it didn't sound like he had an issue giving the team $1.1 billion.
Right, and so what it means is, like, the city is going to spend on construction. The city is going to spend on this, that, the other, the sportsplex, the utilities, the different things that are already in the budget. He was saying labor guarantees. I'd like DC residents to do it for folks that want to work. I would like them to be able to. That's what, when you hear labor guarantees, that's what he's talking about. And a couple other conditions that I can't imagine are deal alterers where the team would go, absolutely not. I don't want any DC residents working on the stadium. They would never say no to that.
Well, he mentioned parking early, didn't come back to it. That's a sticking point.
Could be.
Because that could be a lot of money out of the team's pocket.
It could be. But so, again, that's the point here. So if three people that are needed to say yes are all like, hey, instead of we get zero revenue from parking, could we have 10% of it? And the team says yes, or they don't say yes. Then is that a sticking point that you can't get over? But it all depends on the conditions. It could be, as I said, it's a game of politics. It's part of a larger budget. Council member from Ward 3 could go, I want a new wing to the library. If that's done, then the thing gets done. Who knows if it's with the team or not. It's just like a concession for him to go along with it. You don't know what everybody's demands are, but if you're just looking at this in a vacuum, I think his sentiment is the prevailing sentiment. Meaning, no, it's not done, but that's where we're going. We all acknowledge this is the best thing. There's right. nothing else better coming along. If we've got to tweak or actually vet the information, because again, you'll see these bogus economic studies or whatever to talk about the impact and all these other things that are propaganda, frankly, for any kind of deal getting done one way or the other. They're actually going to try to vet the numbers. Is this going to generate the thing that you say it is for my residents? That's something you need to know, and it doesn't take 2 days to do that. So I understand everyone's doing their job.
I totally agree with that, and he is doing his job, and he's not doing anything wrong. There's a little cold water poured on everything for me when you're so confident there's going to be a deal done, but there's no agreement. The thing that you're saying is going to happen takes somebody else you have no control over agreeing to have a worse deal come their way when they already feel like they're giving you a pretty damn good deal. To me, the comp would be like, you're going, yeah, we're going to get married in the fall, but you're not engaged yet and she hasn't said yes yet. How can you so comp? He's like, we're definitely going to have the wedding. It's going to be amazing. I'm quite sure we're going to get married in the fall. She's got to say yes, though. I'd like to know how we're going. Right now, you guys aren't dating. You know, you guys aren't on the same page necessarily. So, yes, I hope he's right. I think there's a real good chance he will be. I am certainly optimistic that something's going to happen imminently, if imminently can go, you know, months ahead. I think
in political terms, imminently, which is like 5 months. Yeah.
I think that he is right, but what he's saying does not mesh with what the team and the mayor are saying. The mayor, when she speaks on behalf of the team, is currently saying we have until July 15th. If we don't meet their needs by July 15th, they're going to start talking to Maryland again. He said he's not overly concerned about that. That's fine. But we're going to get a deal done. This deal? No, not this deal. Another deal. There is no other deal. How can I be confident that you're going to get that deal done? It doesn't exist right now. That's all I'm saying. Grant and Danny on the Fan. I want to talk about James Wood being great and the fan reaction to his home run yesterday and why it was so fascinating.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.